WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time to huddle. The coaches huddle at the tavern on South Shore. Every Wednesday, starting at 6, the coaches huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Alt throws deep down the right side. Numbers has Bolio at the 10. Stops, cuts back, dives in. Touchdown, Bemidji State's Brendan Bolio.
The coaches huddle with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz.
What a pass and what a catch. And what a run after the catch from Bolio. 1:16 left in the third. It's 30-25.
Huge play. And for Bolio, I mean, that just shows your experience. The throw was coming left back shoulder. That's where he was looking.
Stop by for a cold beer and the best wings in town. And we might just pick up your tab. You're home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
And I've said this before, I feel completely disrespected by that open. I really do. Nowhere is my name mentioned at all. I'm Kevin Reed. I'm here with Kelly Schultz.
And, we'll have to talk to Schultzy about that one.
I don't understand what I did to upset him so much, but I'm not even on the intro.
Because you actually have come at the right time of the season because, I mean, we needed you. You got basketball starting on Friday.
You need me
already.
So much, you put me on the intro. Yeah, my name's right there. I can hear it. But it is good to be with you. We are at the Tavern on South Shore, and it's a big, big night because we're going to start off tonight. We're going to talk about soccer. And the reason we're going to talk about soccer is not only is the team in the NCAA tournament, but for the first time won the NSIC championship. How about that, huh? Hey, all right.
All right.
Head coach Jim Stone is here with us. Mike Corman, the assistant, is here with us. And guys, first of all, just talk about winning that championship and how it feels. Either one of you.
Go ahead, Mike. I'll just step up here.
Yeah, you know, to be the first to do something is really special, and you know it was fun on Sunday just to see the emotion out of the girls, and you know just kind of I always take a back seat to things like that because it's all the hard work that the girls do and put in place, and they're like, hey, come get a photo. I'm like, no, this is for you guys. This is so I kind of took a back seat and kind of watched them enjoy and celebrate with their teammates and their families, and it was a lot of fun on Sunday. And you know, just all the accomplishments that, you know, this season just, you know, was able to get capped off there. And now with the NCAA tournament, you know, starting on Friday for us. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to be the first.
For you, Jim, I mean, obviously this championship, you've come a long way with this team from door knocking to finally winning this.
Right. I thought Mike was going to say he enjoyed watching the emotion of me. Because I think I was crying more than the girls, but I covered it up with the shades, so I was hiding the allergic reaction I had, and yeah, it was an incredible moment, and you know, one that I'll never forget. And it was really cool to see the kids and how excited they were, and just, you know, just to think, hey, programs existed for 27 years and this has never happened, and here we are. So it's hard to put into words, really.
Yeah, the look on your face as you were holding the trophy, I saw a picture, was really, you know, it was like, finally. You could just, everything was on your face of everything that you fought through over the years, and now finally it comes to fruition. Here's the trophy to prove it.
Yeah, just really, really proud of the kids. They worked so hard, and they had such a great mindset going into the tournament, and the mindset, you know, in terms of their desire and their confidence, it just seemed to grow. With each minute that went by with each game, and it culminated in the way we wanted it to. So, yeah, it's something all of us will never forget.
Well, and this season hasn't been easy. I mean, you look back on the last couple of years, you've, you know, made it to the NCAAs, and things have just kind of gone your way, you know, winning at home and all this. And then this year, you lose your first game since 2016 at home. Your team faced a lot of adversity. How much more special does this championship mean?
I think it does make it more special. And, you know, we talked on the bus and just said, hey, 2 months ago, we were just trying to figure out a way to score a goal. And so we could get to the point where, you know, we're lifting a trophy. I think it did make it more sweet. I don't know if Mike has the same feelings, but for me, it did make it even better that we had to kind of fight through some adversity and come from a spot where we maybe didn't see this coming.
Yeah, I think, you know, just see where the growth of the team, you know, it's beginning of the year, like Jim said, just in the office, where are we going to get a goal today or this weekend? And, you know, it just shows the fight that the girls had every practice, every game. And, you know, they decide, you know, they wanted, you know, they just kept on buying in. And just, and then it was just one of those that once it just, the floodgates open. And that's what we kind of told them too, is like, hey, like, once we get one, it's just going to start trickling. And it just started trickling more and more and going forward. So, yeah, it just, yeah, it was awesome. So, I mean, you just can't put words into it, like Jim said.
And we knew we had the goods, you know what I mean? Like, we knew we had the right tools in the tool bag. It was just, for whatever reason, they weren't firing, you know? The batteries, I don't know what was going on, but we knew, you know, we knew what we had on the roster. We knew we had the potential to be a very high-level team. But we really had to, you know, kick and scratch and fight to get it going in the right direction.
And when you have trouble scoring goals, it's a good thing that your defense is as good as yours is, because you were able to win games 1-0 on several occasions during that stretch.
Yeah, and in some ways it was a blessing in disguise, because one, it forced us to kind of take a step back and figure out what our identity was and what we wanted it to be. And we all kind of made the decision that, hey, we're going to be the defensive team. And if we have to win 1-0, we're going to win 1-0. And we kind of got everyone to buy into that identity and that belief. And so once we kind of figured that out, we were kind of able to just build on that. And then, like Mike said, eventually goals started to come. And we got to the point where we were very good defensively, but we were also pretty good offensively.
Speaking of your defense, there was a point in time where your starting goalkeeper, Alyssa Stumbaugh, she gets hurt, has to go through the, you know, testing and whatever, MRI and such, and Georgiana comes in, and she is absolutely lights out. Not many teams can say they've got a backup keeper and another backup keeper behind her that could have held their ground and helped your defense.
Well, obviously on the radio you can't see our faces, but I'm smiling right now. Because it makes me happy when I think about just what Georgie did and how she was ready for that moment. And, you know, all credit to Georgie, all credit to Mike. You know, Mike works with our goalkeepers. He does a great job developing them. And so that I'll let Mike speak to that since he works with them. But for me, it was just a really great thing to be a part of and to witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this year just... You know, it's always nice because you just never, you know, we kept on telling Georgie, like, hey, you just never know. And I think she just kind of kept that mindset. Just, you never know what the season's going to be about. You don't know when someone's going to go down. You know, when I played, you know, I was a backup and, you know, our starting goalie went down. And then I had to step up and come in and, you know, we're able to get a, you know, just the seamless transition and everything. And, just all credit to Georgie. I mean, she comes in every day, works hard, you know, asks lots of questions because she's trying to make herself better. And, yeah, she's been able to, you know, really step up this year. And, you know, when her number was called, she was ready. And, you know, I think you saw in the games and you saw the girls, too, in front of her, kind of like, well, all right, just because Georgie's in doesn't mean that we're nervous or, you know, they were still rocking and rolling going forward and everything like that. So, yeah, it was awesome to be able to have that seamless transition for us.
And you mentioned being able to score goals and the floodgates, if you will, kind of opened. Obviously, there was a lot of hard work in practice to make that happen. Was there anything else to make that happen? Did you have to tweak some of your offensive sets to make it happen, or was it just simply hard work and determination by the ladies to make it happen?
Well, we did tweak a few things, you know. We decided, so typically up top when we play a three forwards and they're pretty fluid, so we decided to simplify things and kind of stay in your lane, and we started playing with more of a true center forward and kind of building off of her. So there wasn't the interchange and exchanging of space as much as there has been in the past. So we tried to simplify things, and then we also made a positional change. So we took Erin Becker from midfield and we slid her up into the forward position, and then we inserted Lauren Hodney into the starting lap in the midfield, and those three things really seemed to pay dividends. They really did, and Lauren Hodney's been fantastic. So, and Erin's been great up top. So, yeah, we felt like through those moves we were kind of able to take a step forward, and maybe that was a small reason behind the floodgate starting to open a little bit.
Your midfield has been so strong, so patient. One of the players that sticks out in my mind is Maria Stocky, and how much she has improved since last year to this year, and just her presence at that position, just being able to kind of keep things in check. And talk a little bit about her growth. I mean, it's hard not to notice her.
The ball, it just seems to be a part of her anatomy, right? It just sticks on her foot, and you're like, how is the ball so tight when she's moving at a pretty high pace? And, you know, she probably has as good or better vision than anyone on the team in terms of seeing passing lanes and kind of seeing what other people don't see. So I think for her, it was just a matter of building her confidence. And I think her confidence has really, really risen this year, and with it, so has her play. So sky's the limit for her. She's incredibly talented. And I don't know if you want to add to that, Mike. Anything I missed?
I think also her work rate. You know, work rate in practice, work rate on the field. You know, I saw her earlier today in the office, and just asking how she was feeling, how her legs felt and everything, and she mentioned to me, she's like, did you see how many miles I put on Sunday? I was like, yeah. She's like, it was 10 miles. I'm like, well, yeah. Did it feel like it? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's just your work rate. I mean, just the things that you're doing for us on the field, either attacking, defending, and, you know, and it just shows how much confidence she has, because, you know, she's just buzzing around the field all over the place and really doing a lot of good things for us in the midfield. And, you know, it's been awesome to see just her growth from, you know, freshman year last year to sophomore year this year.
Okay, you talk about the miles that they put on. Do all the players wear trackers?
Yeah, so all the girls other than our goalkeepers, and I'm sure if they were listening to this right now, they'd be like, see, we need to be wearing these. And
yeah.
Because they all are like, well, can we wear this? So all the girls are wearing GPSs.
Okay.
For every practice, every game, just kind of monitoring their mileage every day. And, you know, we may see, hey, you're a little high right now, so you're only doing, you know, just to help balance them as the week goes on, so then they're more fresh for the games and everything like that. So, like today, they didn't wear them today just because I forgot this long day today, so I forgot to bring them down, and they always know, like, they're asking me, where's the SPTs, I'm like, yeah, I forgot them. And they kind of get, because they want to know what they're doing in mileage and everything. So, but yeah, so they all wear one. It's just on the back of their neck and everything. They put a little vest on, and, you know, they run around, and then after they plug it in, and I plug it into the computer and upload, and then we can kind of see where they're at after, you know, 6-7 days of running around out on the field and everything like that, too.
I love technology. I think that is so crazy cool. Who puts on the most miles then? Or what group of people, maybe?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting. Because when I first got here in 19, you know, Jim, he was like, well, we usually went by the minutes, you know, how much they played. And so we went off that first, and it was like, you know, our center backs, you know, they played a lot of minutes, but we didn't think they, you know, they're probably putting more of the mileage on. It's usually their center backs. So Megan Dahl and Hallie Peterson are one of the two. You know, Megan Majewski is up in there too, just because Allie and Sarah. Like he's, I mean, I know Megan Majewski. She put on this past Sunday. She put like 10.6 miles.
Wow.
Out on the field and everything like that.
And it was, you know, we did have 20 minutes of overtime. Yeah. But yeah, it's. There is a correlation with minutes, but there is a positional piece to it too, which is really kind of fascinating to look at. And with those GPS trackers too, they also give us a heat chart so you can kind of see where they're hanging out in the field too. There's heart rate monitor stuff with it too, and there's quite a bit to grab from. And of course, finding the time to put all that information to use is the challenge for sure.
And, you know, have to be a little bit more smarter now to try to understand all this information. That's why Jordan, luckily our new strength and conditioning coach, he's on there, so at least he's helping me a little bit to understand a lot of
it. It's a good thing that our strength coaches have higher IQs than the soccer coaches.
Because sometimes, I mean, I'm just getting headaches looking at the information. I'm like, I just see that they ran a lot. I mean, that's all I really look at for myself and everything, that's for sure. But it is good because it also helps with our strength and conditioning. You know, they kind of taper off the conditioning and strength stuff for the girls that have played a lot of minutes, didn't play a lot, so they can kind of balance that too. So it's a good working balance between us, strength and conditioning, and, you know, the girls too. Because sometimes the girls are like, well, I feel okay, even though the mileage, you know, shows a lot because, you know, everyone's different.
Jordan will look at different data. So one example would be he'll look at hard running. Mm-hmm. So anything over 10 miles per hour, it calculates. Or like, and he'll talk about, hey, that's more of a more significance than what he didn't do in the weight room as opposed to the total mileage. And so, yeah, there's a lot there for sure.
In soccer, one thing that I've noticed, I'm kind of a soccer newbie. When it comes to the set pieces, the corner kicks, things of that nature. Obviously, you spend time working on those, but how important a part of an offensive unit and working are those set pieces that you guys work on?
So statistically, I think about, you know, generally speaking, about 25% of goals somewhere in there come from set pieces. And I've never seen any research on this, but it seems like the tighter the game, you know, the less goals there are scored, period. So they become even more important. So you get into those tight 1-0 playoff kind of games, and I mean, set pieces are huge. They're, you know, both offensively and defensively.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do that.
I think we should regroup my mind.
I'm trying to think of where I want to go with my next question. So.
And we'll be back. We'll talk with the coaches about not only their way through the NSIC tournament, but the upcoming NCAA tournament, the fact that you guys get to host hopefully a couple of matches, at least one, but hopefully a couple. We'll talk about all that. It is the Coach's Huddle. We're here at the Tavern on South Shore, and you're listening to the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
The GigaZone from Paul Bunyan Communications delivers the fastest, most reliable internet you can get. Upgrade to the secure fiber optic speed you need. Fiber-powered internet with GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi lets you stream HD video in one room, download an album in another, Snapchat in here, or dominate the latest game in here all at once. That's the fast, reliable power of fiber. Get in the GigaZone. Featuring GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi, contact Paul Bunyan Communications today.
Whether your team is champions of the universe or can't tackle their way out of a paper bag, Lakeview Liquor and First City Liquor of Bemidji have the refreshments you need to keep cheering them on. Stock up with Bemidji's largest selection of off-sale wine, liquor, and beer at Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji's South Shore and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. That's CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. First City Liquor and Lakeview Liquor of Bemidji.
Hi, my name is Gail Reese, General Manager at Pepsi Nye Bottling of Bemidji. We're looking for a few individuals with a CDL or those looking to obtain one. Nye Bottling is a family-owned business that's been a fixture in the Bemidji area for over 50 years. We've been extremely fortunate to have great long-term employees over the years. You could start a career here with us. Our open positions receive competitive wages and great benefits. Contact me today. I want to talk to you about joining our team. My direct line is 218-751-3847, extension 104. Hope to hear from you soon.
Every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Winter is around the corner, and it's time to get into a saltwater hot tub. We have hot tubs in stock and ready for immediate delivery. We are offering several financing options to help you get into the right hot tub today. We also have many saunas in stock ready for immediate delivery. So warm up this winter with Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Target.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
And we're back at the Tavern on South Shore. We are joined by soccer coaches Jim Stone and Mike Corman, and they're talking about some of the hard work that has gone into this season to lead the team to not only a Northern Sun Championship, but now on into the NCAA tournament. And let's talk for a minute about that Northern Sun tournament. You had, you had a really nice first round game. Kind of talk about that game in that win in the semifinals.
Yeah, it was a familiar foe, obviously. Once you get to the conference tournament, it always is. And it was a quick turnaround. We had played them, I think, a week earlier. So we knew them pretty well. They knew us pretty well. And they actually came out a little bit different than we thought they were going to be. So they kind of gave us a little bit of a surprise in terms of how they lined up formationally. And, I think they were a little bit more committed to defending. I think they probably had kind of broke our game down a little bit and said, hey, you know, these guys are pretty good going forward. We got to tighten the screws a little bit. And they did. They made it very difficult for us. I thought we played really well. We possessed the ball. But, you know, our opportunities in terms of clear-cut scoring opportunities were very limited. So it just like kind of perfect segue here. It took a set piece. It took a set piece goal. So there you go. Right. Are they important? There you go. We wouldn't have been holding up a trophy if set pieces weren't in place for us. So it took a set piece goal, and we snuck by them.
That goal, by the way, threw me off. Rewatching it, I'm like, what are they setting up? Majewski's facing the wrong direction. I'm like, where's the ball going? They're not shooting it the wrong way. And then when I talked to Juice, she said that one of the girls from Mary said they're gonna pass it over to number two, Hallie Peterson. So they kind of saw what was happening down there. I had no idea, but what a great setup by Juice and Hallie to get that ball through. So right. It was awesome.
That was all credit to the girls, too. I mean,
Instagram, right?
I got a text from our captain, Megan Dahl, about 3 weeks ago before that, maybe even a month. She's like, hey, look at this. And I looked, and I'm like, that could work and everything. And, I kind of was like, oh, I'll pass it along to coach. But, you know, how our lives are, just never got passed on to Jim. And then all of a sudden, just kind of being out at practice, they were like, hey, we got an idea. And I knew exactly where they were going with it. And I'm like, it actually is probably going to work. And sure enough, luckily it did, because it helped us get on to play Augie in the semifinals then.
Yeah, and sometimes when we have time, those set piece sessions are a little bit of a blank canvas. So you take something and you twist it a little bit and then you tweak it, and all of a sudden someone gets a crazy idea and someone gets a better idea and then someone gets an idea and we're like, nah. but that was one of those ideas that was like, there's something here. And yeah, so like Mike said, credit to the girls. That's pretty cool. It's cool that they're into the game like that too. You know what I mean? Yeah. That they saw it and they have a passion about the game and they want to pass stuff along. That's pretty cool. And I think that's also a sign or a reason why we've had some success too, because they do love the game.
Well, and I'll be honest, that was probably one of the most memorable goals I've ever seen and called. I think since I started doing this many, many moons ago. But just because I think you could kind of tell it wasn't something you see every day either. Mm-hmm. So it was fun.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that's what it takes sometimes. And I told the kids after the game, I'm like, hey, great win. I loved how we played. But now the pressure's off us. I was personally excited to go on the road. And just told them, hey, now we get to play with complete freedom, right? And, you know, now you don't have that kind of weight on your shoulders. And, of course, I'm going to sell them, you know, I'm going to sell the lemon a little bit differently now that we're home this weekend, right? But that's how I was selling it then for sure.
So then, yeah, you go down to Mankato and you faced Augie in the semis. And how different is it, you know, Augie with the grass surface? You don't play on a whole lot of grass anymore these days. It's mostly turf. What kind of adjustments do you need to make when you're switching from one surface to the other?
Well, I'll let Mike jump in on that because Mike's a grass guy. He loves, cut grass. But, you know, Mankato's field is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's short grass. It's pretty flat. I don't think there really were too many adjustments we had to make. Like a good turf will play like a really good grass and vice versa. You want to jump in?
Yeah, I think it's just more or less the girls have to understand just the pace of the ball. Because sometimes, you know, going from turf to grass, the pace of the ball, trying to make a pass, you know, a through ball, you know, on grass may hold up a little bit more than on the turf, it'll run a little bit more. So I think it's just the balance that the girls just kind of have to find between going from turf to grass a lot. Luckily, you know, we do have the stadium that has turf, but luckily still, you know, the game field that the team used to play on, well, I don't know, 10 years ago, I think, or something like that, you know, it's still there, and, you know, they still upkeep it for us. They cut it short. They line it for us, and, you know, so it is nice to have the best of both worlds for us up here just because then we have that balance for the girls. You know, I know a lot of places that just have the grass and they don't have turf, so it's hard to transition. But nowadays, too, I think the girls have played on more turf than they have ever played on before. They barely play on grass anymore or anything like that. So I think it's more or less it's actually, you know, harder for some of them just to transition to grass because they don't play on it anymore, too. So it is nice to have the best of both worlds up here at Bemidji State with that.
Well, and there certainly are times where there are some big adjustments needed. Like, for example, last year when we were in Emporia, I mean, the field was so bumpy that you almost got to the point where we're like, let's not pass the ball. We're almost going to have to kind of play boot ball and play really direct and clean up the second ball and bypass the midfield because we literally couldn't ping the ball around. The field was too beat up at that time of the year to connect passes, whereas turf, it's always pretty clean in terms of being able to play a nice ball on the floor.
Well, the other thing you had to deal with was weather while you were down there. The wind was extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. How did that affect the game?
If I remember right, it's like all blur now, I guess, and everything. You get to Sunday, and you just want to think about that the whole time. I think Friday, it was definitely overcast. It was a little chillier on Friday. Yeah, the wind I didn't think mattered that much compared to Sunday's game. But credit to the girls, I think, I don't know, every game that we played so far, it's been like 10-20 mile per hour winds every game. I mean, going from South Dakota for our first game and going to Northern Michigan, playing in like 30 mile per hour winds up there. And, you know, so, you know, we kind of just, the girls, we didn't really say much. It was kind of the girls like, yeah, we played in this wind before. We know how to do, you know, we know what to do, kind of thing like that.
One of the things I think wind does, you know, is it one, it tires you out, and two, I've noticed more and more, it's just, it really cuts down on your communication. It's hard to hear voices. It's really hard to communicate. But against Minot, the wind was definitely a factor, but credit to our kids. Our kids were flying. Like, our kids were, like, they wanted it. Like, they really wanted it. And so we chose to go into the wind first half. And I thought we had the better of the half. So we felt really good going into the second half. We're like, wow, you know. Of course, it took us to overtime to kind of crack that nut. But we did feel good because, honestly, the wind really wasn't that big of a factor. And it's just because we just brought a lot of energy into that game. But there have been some games like Northern Michigan this year, complete tale of two halves. One half, you're stuck in your own end. The next half, they're stuck in their end. But we came out flying against Minot. We really did.
Can you talk about overtime against Minot? It's kind of a unique overtime for some folks. It's not a golden goal situation. It's you're going to play two full overtime periods. Now, you got the first goal, which has got to be an advantage, but at the same time, hey, we've got a goal now. You have to make sure you don't relax in the least little bit because the other team has a chance to come back.
No doubt. And you scored, and you're so excited, and this, you know, almost immediately like, oh, my goodness, how are we going to kill off another 10 minutes here? And then even after we, you know, after we scored the second goal, we exhaled a little bit. But even there, I've been around the game so long, I've seen strange things. And, man, the clock was moving really slowly. I was like, is something wrong with the clock? Is there a malfunction? What is going on?
Well, I had to remind the girls, you know, in the first half, I was in the first overtime, I had to remind the girls on the bench, like, hey, remember, there's no golden goal. We can't rush the field or anything like that. Because, I mean, they wanted to just go out there and just tackle, you know, Aaron Becker and everything. So I kind of had to remind them, like, hey, remember, it's not golden goal. We had to play both tens and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. And so, like Jim said, yeah, the second half, the second OT, I just felt like the clock was, I kept on, oh, my gosh. I'm like, can we get this game going faster, please? Because this is taking forever right now.
I remember watching in the last 3 minutes. I'm yes. Like, this is just the longest 3 minutes of my life. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
like, it was. It's got to be over.
Yeah, it was like watching paint dry. It was, felt like it was just slow.
That goal by Sarah Wendt, though, man, she had wheels and just broke past everyone. I just am in awe of her speed and just her drive on that play, especially this year. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was textbook Sarah. She, you know, always likes to tippy toe that offsides line, and she might be offsides 5 or 6 times a game, but the seventh time when she's not, the ball might be in the back of the net, and that was the case. So she's obviously been a great finisher over her time here, and I won't forget that goal.
That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
So you get the overtime win, you hoist the trophy, you have the ride home, you sit in the selection show and find out that you're going to be at home hosting in the NCAA tournament. That's got to feel special. But tell us about your first opponent and what you're expecting coming up.
Well, Central Oklahoma, obviously a really high-level program. They've probably been to more NCAA tournaments than years I've had coaching, so Mike Cook there is kind of a coaching legend, and so we know we're going to have a really hard-working team. We know they're going to be really strong defensively. They're going to be really organized. They're pretty good on the ball. They're pretty technical, creative. So they're going to, you know, they're going to make us work defensively. And it's one of those games that you know is probably just going to be a really tight game. And
we haven't played too many of those, so you may have to adjust, right?
Right. Yeah. Fortunately, that's kind of been par for the course this year. So, you know, we're expecting nothing different than a really tight game.
Yeah. Any of the players on their team that we really need to pay attention to that you've been scouting?
Throw a couple out.
Yeah. You know, they have this holding mid. You know, when we played them last year, you know, we didn't really know anything about them or anything. So now this year, they're not definitely the same because we're not the same team as this past year. But, you know, they have this number 6 girl that's going to be the little holding mid for them. She's crafty on the ball, works really hard. I mean, I think she plays almost 90 minutes every single game. Works hard, physical, good on the ball. Controls. She's a captain for them, so you know she does a lot for the team. You know, they have a transfer girl coming in that came in from North Texas, number 3. They're forward. You know, does some good things on the ball, holds the ball up well, is quick, athletic. They have this little 23 in the middle of the field. You know, is a little crafty on the ball too. They definitely have their different, you know, pieces on the field that are, you know, technical on the ball, crafty, and, you know, can give headaches to teams. And, you know, so it's just kind of one of those, you know, we had film today and we kind of were going over some things with the girls about that. So they kind of expect to see what, you know, on the field and everything. So,
yeah, they're pretty diverse in the sense that they have some really physical players.
who can, you know, who can kind of pound you a little bit and bang and bruise you a little bit. And then, and as Mike mentioned, they have some kids that are really good in the ball. They have a pretty good balance in terms of, you know, of who's on the field and what they can do. So, yeah, they're definitely a well-balanced team and well-coached, and it's going to be a challenge for us for sure.
And again, the weather is going to be a factor with the forecast today of, what, up to 9 inches of snow of some sort and ice underneath that. Obviously, your players, they know how to play in that kind of weather. Not quite this year, maybe not your underclassmen, but your veterans definitely have been there last year playing in the snow in the postseason and latter part of the season. Central Oklahoma, probably not so familiar with playing in the snow. Is there an advantage at all for you guys?
You'd sure think there would be. I mean, I'm trying to picture if I was from Oklahoma and I arrived in Bemidji and saw snow on the field. I don't know what I'd think of it.
I'd definitely be like, what is going on right now?
Where are we?
Yeah, because if they rode in today and they see what today's like in a couple days, they'll be like, oh, this is not this is not where we were. What happened?
Are we in Canada?
Close.
So yeah, I think. I mean, cold is cold. It's obviously cold for both teams, and if you get ice and whatever, it can affect play both ways. And you know, we ping the ball around pretty well too. So, but I think certainly from a mental standpoint, yeah. Hopefully that our players are embrace it, and it's a little bit of shock the other way.
And certainly, last year we saw the guys that clean up the snow for Bemidji State certainly are veterans at it, and boy, do they get out there, and boy, do they move the snow in a hurry. So even though there might be a lot of snow, it's really probably not going to affect the game as much as it might in some other places just because of the crew you guys have here.
Yeah, grounds crew, MVP, you know.
Oh, we got to drop Clyde's name. I mean, he's that guy, he's always out there doing, grooming the field, plowing the field, doing making sure that we have the best surface out there. And it's awesome, the grounds crew that, he
cares.
Yeah, yes.
He really does.
Yes.
Like, even with our grass, I feel like he just takes a lot of pride in it. And it's really, I know it sounds cliche, but I mean, he's a part of the team. They really are a part of the team. It's all, you know, it takes a village, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very true.
Yeah, like Tom Kelly used to say, we're all in this together. Everybody grab an oar. And it doesn't matter who you are, you're part of the team.
That's right. That's right. That's our theme this year's team. So it's so true.
Well, guys, we appreciate you being here. We've let you talk about the team and the players. We're going to let one of your players talk about you guys next. How's that? Sarah Wentz is here, and she'll join us when we come back.
Allie Smith.
Well, that's why I ask you. I don't know the players that well.
Well, I didn't know what you were showing me.
That's okay.
Miss Smith.
Allie will be here after the break on the coaches'
Smith.
Huddle.
Thanks
here
so much
at the Tavern
for
at South Shore. Glad to have
Thanks,
you
guys.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's family meal deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep-dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings will see you at the mill.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. We're Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the right next steps for your unique situation. Call 218-444-0202 to get started. That's 218-444-0202. That's Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent Financial. 218-444-0202.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Hi, Dan the GM man.
And Sam the Chevy man.
We are here to let you know that Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji has been awarded Business of the Year by the Bemidji Chamber.
Also, we have received the Director's Choice Award from the Bemidji United Way.
We would like to thank all of our loyal customers and partners who support us and our community. Remember, Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji for all your automotive needs.
Chevy, find new roads.
Donlinger Chevrolet Buick.
You trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
And we are back at the Tavern on South Shore. We are talking about soccer tonight to start off with. And, Kelly, you have a very special guest with you.
We do. It's Allison Smith, the fifth year out of Brainerd, Minnesota. And first of all, Allie, congratulations on a fantastic season. You couldn't have asked for a better fifth year, could you?
No, actually my sixth year.
Oh, yeah, it is your sixth year. That's right. You're a grad student.
Yes, yeah, so I've been here a while and happy with how it's been going. So.
It seems like it was yesterday when you were a freshman, doesn't it?
It really does. But half a decade later, still here.
Oh, my goodness. Do they call you Grandma or anything?
Grandma or Miss Smith.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They don't call you Granny Smith like the apple?
No. Oh, Kevin, that's... Somebody's going to be listening. I'm sorry, Allie.
Well, the coaches heard it, so I had to throw that
in
there.
Okay.
For you, Allie, your team started off and you weren't able to put goals in the net very well. Your team's faced so much adversity. I know we asked both Jim and Mike the same thing, but how much more special does the way your team finished in the regular season and started, obviously, the NSIC tournament, winning the championship. How much more special is it knowing that your team went through all of that adversity?
Yeah, so, like, last year we didn't obviously have a lot of that to work through, and this year we kind of struggled in the beginning. And just, like, it's not how you start the season, it's how you finish. And we started to peak at the right time, and so it just makes things a little more special when you know how hard you had to work through and battle some of those things to get to the point where we're winning and playing really well.
And we mentioned to the coaches, if you're having trouble scoring goals, it's good to play really, really good defense, and that's exactly what you did.
Yeah, if the other team doesn't have the ball, they can't score. So we just play into our strengths.
And how much confidence does that give you as a forward attacker that you've got that defense behind you in case the ball does get away? I mean, it happens.
Yeah, we're not going to possess the ball the whole entire game, but knowing how strong we are in the back gives us confidence that for those moments we do get that goal, and if we miss, they're going to be there to have our backs. And we're starting to have their backs by putting the ball in the back of the net. So,
well, there's been rumors flying that Hallie Peterson and Megan Dahl share the same brain.
Yeah, they're telepathy or something.
Is it true?
I think so. Their wavelength, they're always on. They know where each other's going to be, and they're always covering each other. So it's actually pretty cool to just be able to watch and see how they play together.
That's so awesome. And you up front with Sarah Wendt. I mean... And, of course, now Aaron Becker's been playing up front. You've got such a great core of forwards. Obviously not scoring a ton of goals early on, but now you're finally finding that scoring. How much more fun is the game when you're putting the ball in the net?
It's so much better. We're not playing defense the whole game, and we're actually putting the ball in the back of the net, so it's a lot more enjoyable, for sure.
We talked with the coaches a little bit about the set pieces. And Jim mentioned in practice where, you know, you guys will have your practice for just that specific area, and it's kind of like a blank canvas where, you know, he may have something to do this way, and one of the players may say, well, can we try it this way or that way? That must be really special to have that kind of input as players into your team.
Yeah, they really value kind of what we see and what we have to say because we're the ones on the field, and we're the ones being the players. And so we practice all these things, they give us options, but at the end of the day, they let us be players out there, and I think that gives us a lot of confidence knowing that they trust us to make the right decision.
One of those set pieces we talked about was that the only goal against UMary in that first NSIC tournament game. And it was an Instagram post. Was it Majewski?
It was, yeah, so Dahl had kind of showed me. We were sitting at Subway, and she's like, look at this. And we watched it, and we're like, that's cool. We could do that. And so then we went and played UMary after that, and they kind of ran the same thing, and we're like, oh, my gosh. They just did what we want to practice, and then we kind of implemented it into our game and put some spins on it and worked out for us. So it's kind of cool just to see it, put it in motion, and execute it all in like the same week.
And it was executed flawlessly. I sat there and I kind of got caught up in the moment broadcasting it because I'm like, why is Juice facing the wrong direction and where's this ball going? And then finding Hallie and putting mm-hmm. that. She's got a great kick.
Oh, she's probably got one of the hardest shots that I've seen ever.
I mean, there's no
stopping
that one.
You don't
want
to get hit with that.
Not at all. No. Well, you've had some highlight reel goals, too, in your career. Do you have a favorite one that you...
There's a couple, but one of my most favorites was probably last year against Northern Michigan Tech. It was like a volley. It came across the box, and I just kind of hammered it out of the air, and it like went in over the top, and we won 2-1. But that one was fun. It's just you hit it, and you strike it so well, you just, the feeling, you're like, that's going in the back of the net. So
I love it.
Yeah.
We finished, let's see here. So far you've got 6 goals, 3 assists. Hopefully you got a couple more in ya mm-hmm. coming up on Friday. Have mm-hmm. you really had a chance to look at their roster, watch a lot of film yet about Central Oklahoma?
We started watching a little bit today. We obviously played them last year, but no team's the same team year to year. So they still have some of those key players we played last year, and they're athletic, they're strong, and they're going to be good. So we just have to be on our game.
And you get to play at home. That's mm-hmm. got to be special. There's
yes.
nothing like sleeping in your own bed, right? And now you get to play an NCAA tournament game at home. How does that feel, the knowledge that not only are we in the NCAA tournament, we're hosting a game?
I know, we're actually hosting. It's crazy because my sophomore year, 2018, we also hosted. But I was so young, I didn't really realize how important that is and how big that kind of is. And now for the second time around, I get to really cherish it. And I'm not done playing at the Chet, which is really cool.
Okay, we're going to go back to the NSIC tournament because I have to ask this. So you go to double overtime, 2 10-minute, and I'm sitting there waiting for the clock to wind down. You're dealing with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron scores the PK, mm-hmm. and then Sarah just flies down the field like Sarah does.
Yep.
What were all the emotions going through you when the clock finally came to zero?
Yeah, so once Aaron scored, I was like, okay, we can defend for the next whatever 10 minutes. And then Sarah scored, and I was just like, I did a little fist pump on the side. I was like, okay, we got this game. And there was about 1 minute left when the emotion started to hit me. I was like, we're winning this thing. Like, this is ours. And then it went off, and I kind of just like, relief. I was like, we finally did it. And it was just a really cool moment for me.
Then you had the bus trip back mm-hmm. from Mankato. What a 4.5-5-hour trip. And, of course, Lyle. We got to give a shout-out to Lyle, the best bus driver.
Oh, easily, hands down.
I mean, I know he's driven soccer. He's driven women's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball. Oh, yeah, he's done some basketball.
Lyle's a legend. I love that picture you guys posted with Lyle. But you got that trophy and you were like, okay, now did it get passed back and forth on the bus or how did all that
not
happen?
On the bus, not on the bus, no, but there's kind of a picture of me where I'm sitting on the ground and we were taking pictures. And I'm just kind of like hugging it. So I was like, I've been waiting so long for this.
I love it.
Coach Gorman mentioned how long it felt like the second overtime lasted. Did the bus ride home feel shorter than that second 10-minute overtime when you were ahead 1-0?
Yeah, it did. We had our little dance party and our songs. We put on a movie, and it was like we were back home.
How long did it take you to fall asleep on Sunday night?
A long time. I can never really sleep after games, and then especially after this one, I was just wired, even after the long bus ride.
It was so fun to be at that selection show and to see the energy in the room when they said Bemidji State, mm-hmm. the number 2 seed. You get to sleep in your own bed. You get mm-hmm. to play at your own field.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better, is there?
No, nothing better. And we were kind of, Dahl and I were sitting next to each other. We were kind of like nervous. We're like, we just really want to play home. We really want to. It was kind of up in the air if we were going to or
mm-hmm.
not. And I think when they said our name, it was like, okay, yes, like we got this. We can go home and play here in front of our friends and our family. And yeah, so we're excited about it.
Mm.
We talked a little bit about the weather. It's going to be nasty on Friday, but we also talked about the crew that they have here that keeps the field clean. So even though there might be a lot of snow, it might not affect the game here as much as it might elsewhere. Does that ever enter your mind as a player? Do you ever think about the weather and what might happen?
Sometimes, especially for, like, it's supposed to be super windy, but no, they have to play in the same weather we do. They have to lace their boots up just like we do. But I think we might have a little bit of an advantage with the snow part, because we've been there before, we've played in it, and we kind of know how the surface is, and, you know, we can adjust a little quicker to it. But yeah, Friday should be interesting.
Well, you've had a ton of accolades over your career. This year, NSIC first team, NSIC all-tournament team, your teammates all being part of that as well. Mm-hmm. Megan Dahl back-to-back for the first time, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen a Beaver squad that's had that many accolades all in one season. No. For me, it's special to see that because of everything your team has dealt with. But for you being here for 6 years, like, even seeing some of the younger players getting acknowledged too. Mm-hmm. How much will you value that after you leave?
Yeah, I will. The accolades are always nice or whatever, but I just like when my teammates can get acknowledged. So, like, when Juice got second team and Maria, I was like, those are the players that deserve acknowledgement because they kind of fly under the radar and they're so good that they deserve that. So I was just so happy for everybody else that got acknowledged that I was like, oh, I did. But, like, I'm so happy for them. So it was cool.
That's awesome.
Well, I think we can wish you good luck on Friday, and we hope you get to play again Sunday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Why not two games at home? Why not? You're already here.
Why not? Yeah. Why not?
Let's do it.
Let's play. I'm ready. We're ready, so we're excited.
Good luck to you, Allie.
Yeah,
thanks, Allie.
Thank you.
We'll talk about American football when we come back. Head coach Brent Bolte is here. We'll talk about that next on the Coach's Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
When you're ready to leave your garage like a NASCAR driver, but you can't get your garage door up.
If you can't get it up, call Gaslin. Gaslin Garage Door.
With fully stocked vehicles, they're ready for almost any situation. And that means they can get it up. Call Gaslin Garage Door, and there's a good chance one trip is all they'll need. Call Gaslin Garage Door.
Call 556-1517. Gaslin Garage Door.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh. So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores, and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
Get a great deal on the versatile, powerful Kubota M-Series tractors and hay tools. Everything you need to mow, rake, bale, lift, and more. You can write it off the lot and write it off your taxes. Right now, get zero down and 0% APR for 48 months. Plus, customer instant rebate savings. Now through December 31st, subject to credit approval. Consult your tax advisor and see Acme Tools for full details. See the full line of Kubota at Acme Tools. Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill.
2021 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
And we're back one final time at the Tavern on South Shore for tonight's Coach's Huddle. And we are joined by Bemidji State head football coach Brent Bolte. And Coach, we've been here before, haven't we, last year? 8-2, ready to play Mary. It's probably going to be pretty snowy. Unfortunately, it's in Bismarck instead of here, but otherwise, it's a kind of a deja vu moment, isn't it?
It is. We have
a lot of similarities from last year to this year if you play out the season and look at everything that's happened. So hopefully the outcome is like last year as well.
We talked a lot with the soccer coaches about their defense and how they won a lot of games 1-0 just because they played such good defense. Your defense this year has been very similar. Your defense has allowed your offense to pretty much be itself because they know that their defense is going to pick them up no matter what happens. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, we didn't really know going into the year if it was going to be like that, to be honest with you. We had a little bit of a down year, our standard in terms of our defense. So it was a changing of the guard. We got a new defensive coordinator, Marcus McClain, and he kind of brought in a different philosophy of how we play. And we do have a lot of good players, and we were healthy. And that started to show a little bit of confidence early in the year, and we certainly built off it. So, yeah, I felt like we have established a championship style of brand of defense here, and certainly have been able to do it on offense the last handful of years too. So it's a good thing right now.
Talk about how your team has rebounded. I mean, you got off to a rough start. You're 0-2, and you have the talent. You know you've got the team that can go further. Talk about what you saw out of your team that they were able to turn things around and get to where they are right now.
Yeah, you know, I think you go back to those first two games. I mean, attribute the reasons why we lost. I mean, you got to give credit to Mankato and Augie, but we also had a large portion of the blame ourselves. We gave some points away. We didn't execute as high level as we're expected to, so we talked a lot about our standard of how we play, and the kids rebounded and understood the point of it's not necessarily who we're playing, it's more of how we play ourselves. So we've been talking about that a lot. A lot of cliches coming out of the mouth, you know, worry about 1-0 and all those sorts of things, but it's very true. So give the kids a lot of credit. They bought back in and never really doubted it in terms of our ability and the opportunities to win out, and we just had to put it at kind of a one game out of a time mentality.
And we've talked about offense and defense. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention your special teams. The field goal kicking has gotten better. Cusick has stepped in, and he's 5 of 5 making field goals again. You know, he's not making 60-yarders, but he doesn't have to. He's made the field goals he's been asked to make. Rodriguez has done some punting, and he's done very well. And you have been able to put pressure on the other team's punter, and you've had punts of 10 or 15 yards by your opponent. So your special teams has really been, for lack of a better word, special this year.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we were terrible. I'll be quite honest with you, we didn't execute in that phase of the game, and not necessarily the kids' fault. We just didn't have as many returners. We didn't have as much confidence. So a lot of those kicks early in the year weren't necessarily the kicker's fault. We had pressures. We maybe had some snap issues. So we just got in rhythm, and we've been hammering it a lot with the special teams in practice, probably more than we've ever done, honestly, ever here. So give Coach Hine a lot of credit for getting the kids prepped, and we have been really, really good the last 7-8 weeks in all the categories in terms of our special teams play.
And you've also had a couple of guys on your team that have had fantastic seasons, record-breaking seasons. Brendan Bolio is one. What an incredible athlete he is, but to put himself in BSU's record books is even better.
Yeah, he's a remarkable young man, like very quiet, unassuming guy, and just kind of puts his nose down and works, kind of a lunch pail type of mentality, and I wish we had 100 of them. I don't joke about that, and he's, I think, deceptive in a lot of things that he does. He masters his craft. He's a big physical kid, and he just finds a way. I know he's not a 4-4 kid, but he always finds a way to get behind the defenses, and he blocks, and he's a team guy. So, and there's a lot of chemistry between him and Brandon Ault just because of their, you know, growing up, the history of those two. So it's awesome to see his hard work pay off, because it really just underlies what we try to do here is a developmental team, get guys, they stay, and they're going to have good careers, and he kind of personifies that.
And you mentioned Ault and Bolio together. I noticed a few times Saturday where they would come to the line of scrimmage and they would just look at each other. And the next thing you know, Bolio would just go down and he'd be open. It wasn't maybe a design pattern. It wasn't the play that was called. But they have such familiarity and such communication with each other. They're able to make plays happen 20 yards down the field. And it's just like it's pitch and catch.
Yeah, it's nice to have that chemistry. Those guys have been playing together for, you know, 12 plus years or whatever it is now. Well, heck, probably closer to 15 years, I mean, from youth football on. So they got a lot of chemistry, and I do give our offensive coaches a lot of credit. You lean on your strengths, and certainly Brandon can whip the ball around the yard. And Coach Hine does a great job with the receiving group of understanding what we're trying to do. And Coach Pike is a great offensive coordinator, putting those guys in position. So it all stems off probably from the ability to call plays that fit your best athletes and get them going. And I think our biggest strength right now is that we've become a lot more balanced in our offensive scheme. So running the football, Jalen Fry's getting more and more confident after coming off his injury. Our whole line, even though we shuffle guys around, we've played a lot of guys and we're not having a drop off. So that's probably the difference between this year and last year, as we went through the grind of the season. We had some kids that we lost last year. This year we just built more depth, and now, if we have a fourth-string guy or third-string guy on the field, we haven't, seen as much, really diminished returns, if you want to look at it that way. The guys have been able to go out and execute.
Let's talk about Mary coming up on Saturday. The Marauders, always tough to beat at home when you're at their place. They beat Northern earlier this year. They've been in tight games with Mankato and other teams. What are you looking for from the Marauders on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it's their last game of the year. They got a proud group, and Craig Bignell, obviously coach here at Bemidji State with me, and we're good friends. 364 days of the year, I guess I'll put it that way, then we'll go to battle for one. But he's going to have their kids ready to go. He's a good offensive mind, so they're going to throw trick plays. They're going to be hard to prepare for. They do have talent. Danny Kintner is one of the best receivers in the country. Their quarterback is coming off of a phenomenal year himself. I mean, he beat Brandon Ault. Brandon Ault was their second-team quarterback in our region last year, in the conference, and Logan Nelson was the first-team all-conference kid. So I think they're have been so close. I mean, they're going to get over the hump eventually at UMary with Craig at the helm. It's just I'm sure he's frustrated in no end with some of all those close games that you mentioned. But again, for us, we got to go out and execute our game plan and lean on what we've been able to do all year, regardless of the elements, regardless of how long it takes to get out there. We talked about that a lot tonight at practice. It's like, hey, control the controllables. If we have a 10-hour bus drive out there, or if we have to drive day of, so be it. Let's go out and handle our business. But they're definitely an offensive-based team. I think they struggle a little bit on defense, so hopefully we can go out and establish, our rhythm on offense and negate their high-powered offense.
As you prepare for this final regular season game, I know the question of the day is, how is the health of your team? I mean, obviously you've gone through a full season. Are they dinged up? Are they healthy? Little bruises, bumps?
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to feel good in Week 11, including the coaches. I think we all are sick, so hopefully not getting anybody sick here, but we're not bad, to be honest with you. We had a few injuries on the offensive line throughout the year, but we've been able to gain depth. Guys have been able to get some experience, so I think that's still a spot that we feel pretty comfortable with. We're hoping that Wheeler, he was Emus last week, our tight end fullback, we'll see if he's going to be ready to go. But we've been fortunate, it seems like, that as we have a guy maybe get injured, we've been able to cycle somebody off the IR. So we're hoping that our DBs will get a little bit healthier. Willie Spears has been out. I think he'll be able to play. Savon got dinged up last week, and Stone, we'll see where those guys are at. But we've been, knock on wood, it hasn't been something that it's been, a freak out moment. The guys have been able to respond. But, yeah, we'll have some guys that'll miss, and we'll hopefully get a few guys back. But I wouldn't say it's anything untypical at this time.
And we mentioned that where you're at last year, 8-2, a win over Mary, you should make the playoffs. How much have you allowed yourself as a coach to think about, A, the playoffs, and B, hey, maybe we got a shot at a home game too? How much have you allowed yourself to let that slip into your mind with this one big game left before any of that happens?
Well, I mean, you got to control what you got to do first. We got to go out and win, which is not going to be an easy task, all things considered. So, of course, it's human nature. You see the regional rankings, you get calls, you get texts, but, be 1-0, and then the chips kind of fall where they may. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to have the first ever home game for a playoff here in Bemidji. For BSU and the program, the kids deserve that. But we'll see. I mean, we got to go handle our business. Otherwise, we'll be talking about turning in gear and everything else instead of the playoffs.
Yeah, and you don't want to be talking about that.
No, I'd be much rather sitting here talking about the next opponent on the 19th. So our kids are ready. They understand it. And again, like, we've kind of been in playoff mode the last, 9 weeks. If we'd had another loss, that certainly wouldn't have been something that we'd have been talking about. And we do talk about it with our guys, like, instead of hiding behind it. And, of course, that's our goal going into the year. We talk about it nonstop in the offseason. But, again, refocus the guys. I mean, just because we beat Duluth or we beat Northern doesn't mean that we've won anything at that particular point. So it's another one that we got to check off, and we're going to have to play well and play our style when we get out to Mary.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Good luck on Saturday. And, yeah, let's hope we're talking again in a couple of weeks about more playoff games.
That would be awesome. You guys have a good night.
You too. Good luck.
Thanks,
sir. Head Coach Brent Bolte with us on the Coach's Huddle. Kelly, it's been a lot of fun tonight. We had soccer. We had football. Soccer's playing at home. Why not football, too?
Lots of football.
That's right.
Yeah,
lots of football. Both soccer and American football.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it's been fun.
It's been fun. Schulte will be back next week.
Yes, he will.
After his long hockey trip this week.
And I will be getting ready to head to Columbus for a trip again. The Beavers on the road at Ohio State next weekend. So no women's hockey this weekend. We've got soccer Friday at 3. We got
the women's basketball opens their regular season.
Women's basketball at 6. Men's hockey at Northern at 6. Saturday, football at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully more soccer on Sunday at 3.
And for those listening, hockey will follow right on the back of football because they drop the puck in Northern Michigan at 5. So there won't be much of a postgame of football or pregame for hockey. Those kind of run right into each other.
Yeah, so if you're looking for the football pregame show, Schulte will have that on BeaverRadioNetwork.com
on the stream.
And you're going to catch up with Bolte quick in the post game and throw it to Schulte.
That's what
Saturday.
We'll do.
Wow.
Quick handoff and then hopefully more soccer on Sunday.
Oh, hope so. I mean, that Beaver squad has played so well and the best defense I've ever watched. So, and now that they're finding their scoring. So there we go.
That's a good time to find it.
Yes.
Well, that'll wrap it up for the Coach's Huddle. We do it each and every Wednesday night from the Tavern on South Shore on the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's Rock Station.